Following programs, views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I'm sure thankful to be in here today. Our roads are horrible out there. I just got into the studio less than 5 minutes ago. Glad I left a little extra time. But if you're out on the roadways out there, keep an eye on the conditions. They can change rapidly. And there's a lot of snow-covered highways out there and roadways and a lot of slick spots. I actually elected to stay off the highway coming up to the station here today because I figured the highway was looking just as bad as the roads were. And at least with the roads, I had more places to pull over if I had some problems, I guess. But at any rate, thankful to be here. Still a little out of breath. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for watching over us. Pray that you be with those that are traveling today in the weather. We just pray that you keep them safe on the roadways. Father, thank you again that we can be on the air today. And Father, as we come on the air today, we've been talking the last few programs about the sanctity of human life. And Father, as we think of the pro-life demonstration going on in Washington, D.C. today, commemorating the 40th anniversary of the infamous Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion in this country. And we just pray, Father, that you bless those that are there, help their message to get out. And Lord, do pray that maybe something that we talk about today would help people to understand the issue of life, understand when life begins, and the importance of protecting it. Father, we just pray, though, also that whatever we do would point people to Christ. We'd just bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this is Live with Pastor Al, in the studio live, out of breath, but live. And you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Gets you on the air live here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. I want to thank you all for praying for my voice these past few weeks. It's certainly been a challenge trying to do a live program on Friday afternoons and Sunday nights, as well as regular services at our church on Sunday and Wednesday and Friday night Bible study and all of that, and not having much of a voice. It's been a challenge at times, but appreciate all your prayers. And continue to pray for us. Pray for the radio program. We can certainly use your prayers that we can make a difference in somebody's life, help people understand the Bible a little bit more clearly, and hopefully point people to Christ. And do pray for us. We appreciate the opportunity to be on. And if you want to help us out, we'd sure appreciate that a little bit too, but certainly pray for our financial situation with the program so that we can stay on the air with this. We appreciate your prayers there. But again, as I said in my opening prayer, today they have the annual march in Washington, D.C. In support of life. And a number of people have shown up there. I don't know if you've seen any of it on the news or anything as yet, they were expecting a pretty good turnout, I guess, this year being the 40th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, which, of course, has resulted in resulted in the deaths of probably 55 million, at least 54.5 million known abortions, I guess you could say. And that, of course, is probably an underestimate or underreported a little bit, and it certainly doesn't count those children that have been aborted via things like the morning after pill or something like that. And So we certainly want to pray that our country might turn the corner on this issue and overturn. It was just plain bad law to begin with, to try and finagle and tease out a supposed right to privacy out of the Constitution where it really wasn't there. And they used the line, and I'm trying to think, I think it was the 14th Amendment, whatever, talking about being secure in your persons, I think was part of it. And I think it's kind of ironic that they applied that to abortion when the very act of abortion certainly doesn't allow somebody to be secure in their person, and it sure does violate other constitutional guarantees that you won't be deprived of life without due process. And certainly it goes in the face of our Declaration of Independence, where we're talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so I would think that those are fundamental rights that are violated every time a child is born. You say, well, you've talked about this before, why is this important? Well, it's important because, to quote our president, as I said last week, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. Of course, he was using that in terms of gun control. But let me just share with you a passage here in Exodus. And of course, if you've got a question, it doesn't have to necessarily be on this subject, something in the Bible or current events, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you today. But in Exodus chapter 21, this is a good passage, and it's noteworthy because this is a statement that God makes under the law requiring payment for certain things that happen, punishments for certain things that happen. And he says in verse number 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her. Now, let me pause right there and give you the example of what's going on. You've got two or more men fighting, and this woman comes up, possibly the wife of one of the two men or the daughter of one of the two men or something, and she happens to be pregnant, says, with child. Now, right then and there, the Bible doesn't say with fetus, it doesn't say with tissue, it doesn't say with the products of conception. And by the way, I read an article recently where some people are trying to change the term conception from the biological, scientifically accurate definition of the moment when the egg cell is fertilized and the DNA from the man and the DNA from the woman are combined and forms that fertilized egg cell there. That's conception. Well, they're trying to say, well, that's not really conception. Conception is what happens when that fertilized egg later implants itself into the uterine wall, and that's nonsense. They're trying to get around the fact that life begins at conception. We'll come back to that again in a minute, but he says that hurt a woman with child. This is a pregnant woman, and she's carrying a child. She's not carrying tissue. She's carrying a human child, and it says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So here's the case. The two men are fighting. And this woman, presumably the wife of one of the men, intervenes, tries to stop it or break it up or come to the defense of her husband, whatever it is. And she gets hit, she gets kicked, she gets knocked down, and she goes into premature labor and she delivers the child alive. That's what it means by no mischief follows. She delivers the child alive. He's punished for causing the premature birth of this living child, and the punishment is according as the woman's husband lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So the woman's husband decides what the price of that episode should be worth, and they go to the judges. The judges make the determination, and the guy who hurt the woman with child and caused the premature delivery has to pay. Now, in this case, the child is born alive. The next case is in verse 23, Exodus 21 and verse 23. It says, "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give," notice what it says, "life for life." Again, the same scenario. A couple of men are fighting, and the one man's wife tries to intervene, tries to break it up, tries to defend her husband. She's struck, she's injured, she's knocked down, whatever happens. And she goes into premature labor, and the child is born dead. What he said right there in verse 33, notice, "Thou shalt give life for life," meaning capital punishment, because he is guilty of killing that child. Now, if the child was not a child, if the child was not a person, if the child was not a living human being, then why did God ordain capital punishment for somebody who unintentionally caused the woman to lose her child, caused the child to be born dead? And keep in mind, it doesn't say that the man intentionally did this. Now, when you apply this to somebody who conducts an abortion, that person intentionally is ending a human life. They are, and oftentimes, making a good bit of money intentionally ending a human life. You say, "Well, I don't believe it's a human life. I don't believe it's a life." Well, what is it then? If it's not alive, there'd be no need for the abortion, because the abortionist kills that unborn child. If it's not alive, it wouldn't be born live. And it just boggles my mind how people can avoid the simple logic of that statement. If it's not alive, it's not going to grow. It's not going to develop. And usually people say, "Well, it's not viable." Well, let me ask you this. If you had a six-week-old baby and you laid it out on a table in the middle of the yard and just let it lay out there for a week or two, is that baby going to be living when you go out and check on it again? Is it going to be thriving? Is it going to survive that ordeal? No, it'll die. So you could say, "Well, that six-week-old," I'm talking about a baby that's been born and a month and a half ago, a six-week-old child, is that child really viable? How about if it's a year old and you take that year-old child and you put it out back in the doghouse and you just chain it out there and you don't give it any food or water and leave it out there to its own devices? Is it going to survive long? Oh, you mean that child's not viable either? Well, see, viability is a word that gets thrown around by the pro-abortion, pro-death people. They think it makes sense. They think they sound intelligent when they're saying it. But let me ask you this. You're listening to me right now. If I stuck you in a room and locked the door and there was no food or water in there and left you in there for, say, a month, would you live that length of time? What if I locked you in there for a year? Would you live that length of time? Well, I guess if you die, you must not have been viable. Maybe you're not viable either. See, viable is a very relative statement. And the fact of the matter is, at the moment of conception, you have living human being. That's what you have. It's not some other type of organism. It's not tissue from the mother. It's a living being, distinct at that point from the mother. If you take that fertilized cell, that fertilized egg, and you look at its DNA, it is distinct from its mother. It is distinct from its father. It is distinctly human as well. It's not carrying orangutan DNA or some sort of wombat or platypus DNA. It's human DNA, distinct from the mother, distinct from the father. It's a distinct human life form. It's just at a different stage. Let me ask you this. If I looked at your baby picture and then looked at your graduation from high school picture and then looked at your picture at, say, age 50 or 60 years old, would all those pictures look identical? Absolutely not. You have changed considerably during the course of your life. If you're up there in years listening, let's say you're 50 or older, 60 or older, 70 or older, you do not look like you looked when you were in high school. I know I don't look like I did in high school. I'm pretty glad of that personally, but I don't look like I did in grade school. I don't look like I did when I was a baby. Now, sometimes as you get older and you start to lose your hair and you lose your teeth, you might think you look like you did when you were a baby, but before you had hair and teeth. But the fact of the matter is, human life changes constantly. We don't stay the same. And from the moment of conception, at that very moment, we begin our journey as a distinct human being. And the Bible very clearly says that we are a child. Let me go over to another passage here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5. It says, "And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Now, that's the case where Bathsheba and David committed, King David committed adultery. And she sent and said, "I am," she didn't say, "I'm with tissue." She didn't say, "I'm with the unwanted product of conception." She said, "I am with child." She understood it was a human life that was in her. And that's what a human being is. Psalm 139, we've read that before. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb," starting verse 13 there. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth is a statement referring to in the mother's womb. But getting back to the text, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." This is the child at the moment of conception, when in the book, in the DNA, everything was written. The description of how that child would form into the body would form, the legs, the arms, the hair color, the eye color, and all those sorts of things. All of that, according to the DNA, was already written, was already in place, and those things were formed over time. But he said they were already written, and God saw him before they were formed, before they were fashioned, meaning that before he was a viable, as people would say, child, God already viewed him as a distinct human being. How about this one in Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 41, where the Bible says, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." John the Baptist. And notice it said the babe. It didn't say the tissue. It said the babe leaped in her womb, recognizing it as a child. And it said, "And she spake with a loud voice, saying, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And, there's a lot of things like that in the scripture. And once you start looking at it, you can see that. And it's obviously a human being. And abortion is the ending of a human life. And generally, it's not for the safety or the health of the mother. It's for the convenience of the mother, generally speaking. Well, I don't want this child, therefore I'll just get rid of it. Well, it was a mistake. Well, it wasn't the child's mistake. Why punish the child for the mistake of its parents? Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have Nancy in Euclid on the line. And Nancy, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And very interested, of course, in this pro-life thing. I almost went to D.C. With Pastor Sanders with his bus, but personal reason I couldn't go. But today I wanted to ask you about 2 Timothy 2:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I'm thinking about someone that has brain damage, not severely, but enough to just not really be thinking clearly due to severe cirrhosis of the liver. And it is, someone has said that if we can't talk to the person rationally to help lead them to salvation, that God can speak to their spirit directly, and they can get saved that way. But I just wondered, are you aware of any scripture that would back up that particular idea? Thank you very much.
Well, that's a good point, good question. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 there, as Nancy said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's actually a very comforting scripture too. But when you're looking at somebody who, and there's different cases, somebody, for instance, who, due to, drug use or alcoholism or something like that, they have caused problems which keeps them from thinking straight and things like that. Certainly that's a result of their sinful activity, sinful behavior. There are certain diseases that you can get, for instance, that can cause you mental problems too. And in that case, that's somebody who had the opportunity, to hear the gospel, and you certainly need to pray for them that God can get through. Let me give you an example. I know we're quickly running out of time. Somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia, maybe that might be an easier way to see it. Somebody who later in life, they've been intelligent, they've been alert, they've not gotten saved, and going into the nursing home, anybody that's worked in a nursing home much can probably attest to the fact that every once in a while, somebody, they'll become lucid for just a few moments, and they'll hear and they'll understand the gospel message, and they'll get saved. And then you can see the confusion from the dementia, from the Alzheimer's, just come right over them again after they get saved. Yes. And I think that's because God grants them a final chance, grants them an opportunity, because people are praying for their salvation. And that would be the thing to do for people who are suffering, from other problems, from the effects of drugs and alcohol and things like that. Now, somebody who perhaps is born with some, mental defects that prevent them from ever thinking clearly, and essentially they're like a child. And that child that was born from Bathsheba that I read about earlier in 1 Samuel, that child later died. David, prayed that God would spare the child, but the child, God said, would die. And when the child died, David stopped mourning, cleaned himself up, and he said, where the child is where I'm going to be, and I'm going to be reunited with him. Apparently, there is some provision that God makes for people who are unable, as a child because of lack of, development in that sense, or somebody who's mentally retarded in the sense they never reached the age of accountability where they can make a choice. But somebody who's old enough and has been able to make a choice, they're really in a dangerous situation if due to disease or sin, they lose their ability to reason, because they're accountable to God and they need to trust Christ as their Savior. Nancy, we're about out of time there. And
well,
that's
thank you.
That's
that
a good question.
Really yeah. helpful.
Appreciate
thank you
that.
So
and
much.
And certainly pray for those that are in Washington, D.C. today. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there coming to the realization that the Roe versus Wade was a bad case in the first place. And it, one day it may be revisited. Certainly the current administration does not want that to happen. Pray God change hearts and overturn this travesty. Well, we're out of time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations.